Welcome to episode 135 of Speaking of Mysteries. I'm Nancy Clare, and joining me today is Karen Cleveland, whose debut novel, Need to Know, equal parts spy thriller and domestic suspense, was published on January 23rd. At the very heart of the novel is the balance that Karen's protagonist, Vivian Miller, a hard-working analyst on the CIA's Russia desk, must make between home and work, and which should come first in her loyalty and trust, family or country. Here's Karen Cleveland. Welcome back to Speaking of Mysteries. This is Nancy Clare, and I'm delighted to have Karen Cleveland on the podcast to talk about her debut novel, Need to Know. Welcome, Karen.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here.
First of all, we have to congratulate you on publishing it. It's not easy to get a book out there into the world, and so you have my heartfelt congratulations.
Well, thank you. I'm, feeling so grateful and happy this week that that it's out there. It's a really exciting week.
I read a lot of mystery and suspense, as one might imagine, and my mind likes to sort the books into categories. Need to Know defied easy categorization. Would you agree that it's one part spy thriller and one part domestic suspense?
Yeah, absolutely. And I don't think it falls neatly into either category. I think it does sort of have some elements of both.
You're a former analyst for the CIA, and just on this podcast, you are the third former member of the CIA to be interviewed.
Oh, wow.
What do you think entices veterans of the CIA to write fiction? Aside from the question, I was reading an interview with Joe Weisberg, and he said he had never thought of writing until the question came up during his polygraph. So, I'm curious, what do you think entices veterans of the CIA to write fiction, usually when they're no longer working for the agency?
You know, I think people are very interested in that world of intelligence. And, it's something that I think is sometimes difficult to write about when you haven't sort of been in that world, just because it's so secretive. So I don't know. I think maybe there's just something about having been part of it that, it makes it seem like you'd be able to contribute something to an area that people are interested in reading about.
That's true. But all of you seem, at least the people that I've read that have been former CIA employees, and that includes Arthur Kearns and Barry Eisler, are really crackerjack writers. Is that a skill that you need to work for the CIA?
You know, my job involved a lot of writing. I was an analyst. I was an analyst there for 8 years. And, a lot of my day was spent reading and writing and basically trying to tell a story. I'd kind of sift through classified material, all these different pieces of intelligence from different sources, and try to figure out sort of what the story was, whether it was a terrorist plot or a command and control structure or something like that. And then you'd have to sort of write it in a format that you could give to policymakers to help them sort of understand what's going on. So in a way, I think that's sort of similar to writing a novel.
Well, you would know because you've done both. And I can't say anything about the reports that you wrote, but I can say that the book is very, very engaging. So one must, I have to assume that your reports were as well.
Well, thank you. I'm glad that you enjoyed it.
I found Need to Know multi-layered. I mentioned this earlier. And on the surface, it's a story of tracking down a cell of Russian sleeper spies in contemporary Washington, D.C. But it's also a story of loyalty and trust. So your central character, Vivian, is definitely a patriot. And she's dedicated to her job as a CIA analyst, and she's on the Russia desk. But she's also fiercely loyal to her family. And at the heart of the story, it seems to be which loyalty should come first for her, and who she should trust unequivocally. So is this accurate?
Yeah, I think that's a great description of it. I mean, I think ultimately at its core, it really is sort of a book about how well do we know the people closest to us and what lengths would we go to protect the people that we love the most. But yeah, she's definitely grappling with this choice between duty to country and duty to family.
And I think this is something that a lot of women, especially women employees of the CIA, encounter. I read Valerie Plame's book. I've also known one or two people that have gone to work as analysts at the CIA. And there's really a tremendous amount of pressure on families. And so I thought this book, without being maudlin, really was an accurate depiction of someone, of women, and very timely, because although I'm sure you started this book a couple of years ago, the idea of women in the workplace and women in society is really front and center right now.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, in the book, Vivian is really sort of struggling with just finding that balance between a demanding career and the demands of having young kids at home. And that's something I struggled with as well. You know, it's definitely not easy to manage that. And a lot of women, a lot of people, you know, have the same struggle. So I think a lot of people can kind of identify with where she's coming from.
And she also, when the story gets going, has a tremendous amount of questioning of herself and her own judgment. And I would think that someone in a job that involves so much secrecy, that's probably something that they encounter often. How much can they say? Who can they trust?
Yeah, I mean, it is a strange environment that you're at work all day and, you know, working hard, doing things that are stressful, and then you come home and you can't talk about it with anybody close to you. So, yeah, it is a kind of a strange environment. I think you get used to it to a certain extent, but yeah, I suppose it probably does sort of make you a little bit, you know, maybe it makes it harder to kind of trust the people around you.
Conflicted might be a good word.
Conflicted, that's a better word, yes.
Another thing that's very much in the news right now, and I do try to keep, speaking of mysteries, a politics-free zone, but Russia is very much in the news. And
yes.
I think a lot of people figured after the fall of the Soviet Union, Russia as an enemy, you know, sort of as evil empire enemy, would fade. But that's not the case. They're still a bad actor. And a few years ago, a family in New Jersey, I think it was New Jersey, came in from the cold and told authorities that they were Russian sleeper agents. Joe Weisberg, who I mentioned earlier, who's also former CIA, taught television series around this sort of thing during the last days of the Cold War. And so this makes me, as just sort of a citizen, think, are there still Russian sleeper agents in place?
Well, you know, I mean, we do just live in such interesting times. And I agree, there's been really a resurgence of, you know, this Cold War sort of atmosphere with U.S. and Russia sort of, you know, the adversarial relationship there. And, you know, as you said, we've sort of encountered this in the not-so-distant past with sleeper agents in the U.S. So I think it is certainly not beyond the realm of possibility.
And do you think, in the case of Vivian, I don't want to introduce any spoilers, which makes it a little bit challenging to talk about this book, but she discovers something about someone that she thinks she knows very, very well. And it to me, it sends her down sort of a rabbit hole, almost like a Alice in Wonderland, where she isn't quite sure what she's seeing is real.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and
that's exactly right. Yeah.
And the tension is incredible. And it occurred to me that could this sort of thing actually happen without saying what this thing is? Could this sort of could someone very, very close to a CIA analyst on the Russia desk, which I have to imagine is still a high profile job within the closed community of the CIA, could this sort of thing happen? Could this happen to somebody?
I think it's not beyond the realm of possibility. There are, you know, certainly CIA security does an excellent job, and there are sort of processes in place to vet people. But, the Russians are also very sophisticated. They have very sophisticated intelligence services. And, I hope that something like this is not happening, and this is definitely a work of fiction. It's not based on anything true, but the possibility, I don't know, maybe it. But I also do have faith in our security, CIA security, that they're doing everything they can to prevent something like this.
But I think that and this happens once again in the book, I think that the idea that a family, children specifically, can be leveraged must go through everybody's mind, the people that are doing the security checks and the people that are living, you know, I'm assuming you had children when you were still working for the CIA.
Yeah.
And the idea, you know, the one thing that you could leverage against a parent, obviously, is a child, even more than anything else, I think.
Yeah, I mean, and I think, to me, that's sort of my biggest fear, just because my kids are, you know, the most important thing to me. And I think any parent feels that way. And so, yeah, it's a scary thought.
So, you know, it's in writing this book, I think you had to put yourself, because Vivian, the main character in the book's children are threatened, if not implicitly threatened, it's suggested. There's a lot of sort of sinister suggestion that something could happen to her children. She has four, and one of them is special needs. So this must have been a difficult place to put yourself. Just even though it's fiction, it didn't happen to you, didn't happen to anyone you knew, but you had to live with Vivian, and you had to live with her fears. So I'm wondering what this did to you as a writer.
You know, I think it probably helped a bit that I had, you know, 8 years of experience trying to sort of shut off my work life from my home life. And, you know, I think maybe in a way I tried to sort of approach it the same way. And, you know, while I was working, while I was writing, I was certainly putting myself in her shoes. And, it was scary to think about. But, I think you just have to sort of shut that off. And I did have too many years where I spent all day sort of thinking about scary things, and then you just got to try to shut it off and enjoy your family and enjoy your life. The world is a scary place, unfortunately. There's a lot of scary stuff out there.
And I think one of the things we should realize that although the weapons might be different, it pretty much always has been a scary place. Bad things have always happened.
Yes. Absolutely.
And it's the job of your former coworkers and others to at least keep us safe, but also, you know, I think keep us aware.
And they I have every confidence in them. I worked with just the greatest group of people, and, you know, they're incredibly hardworking, incredibly patriotic, and, it's good to know that they're working so hard to keep us safe.
And hopefully, another thing that got me about this book was the varied layers and the things that Vivian assumed were just safe as houses, and I use that, it's an old-fashioned term, were not. And I think it was almost dizzying. She was just trying to live her life and do her job, and all these things kept getting thrown at her. And mm-hmm. I thought it was a little bit of a metaphor for, I'm going to go back to this idea of women and all of the challenges women have in the workplace. You know, whether you're a nursing mother or, you know, you have aging parents, and you're a CIA analyst and you've got incredibly scary secret stuff that you've got to work on during your 8-hour workday. It's just, I found that such a disconnect intellectually, and yet you did such a good job of letting us see it through Vivian's eyes.
Well, that's great to hear. I mean, that's what I was sort of trying to do when I was writing it, and try to put my, you know, make sure I could kind of see myself in her shoes. And so it's great to hear that kind of readers are able to do the same thing when they're reading it.
And I guess the other question I've asked the other former employees of the CIA that have been on the interview is, did you turn your book in to be read before it went to the publisher?
Yes, everything I write has to be reviewed by the Publications Review Board at the CIA to make sure there's not inadvertently any classified material in there.
Did anybody over there, I can't help but ask this, did anyone over there weigh in and give you some editorial advice?
They don't give editorial advice, no. they were great to work with, though. It was a smooth process.
And because, as you said, it seems like there are quite a few people that figure there are some good stories and ideas for good stories, since obviously you can't tell us some of the things that really happened. But I would imagine that some of it is true. Going through the security, having your bag inspected and your phone locked up and all that kind of thing, that really happened
yeah,
with me.
Yeah, definitely. No phones allowed at Langley there, so yeah. there are a lot of security measures in place.
And, you know, we won't, in the book, Vivian does make attempts to circumvent them. We won't mention whether they're successful or not. But I would think that the security people are hip to some of those things.
Yeah. I mean, I do have a lot of respect for the security at the agency. I think they do a great job. And, it is a work of fiction.
And, of course, you know, this is, like you said, it's fiction. And there is a suspension of disbelief, which worked for me. It absolutely worked for me. Once again, it's hard to talk about this book about the story, except that it's about a woman whose loyalties are tested, and who doesn't always know who to trust and doesn't know how to get herself out of a situation that she has found herself in. But at the end of the book, there's a bit of ambiguity. So this makes me think that we might see Vivian in a follow-up.
You know, I like the characters, and I feel like there's more story to tell, so we might be seeing more of her in the future.
Well, that gives us hope, because she really is she's a very engaging person, and although she seems to get herself out of the initial pickle, there are pickles ahead.
Yes, there are.
Are you going on a book tour with this? Are you going to do any signings, or have you done any signings? I should say that this book was published 2 days ago on the 23rd of January. You and I are speaking on the 25th.
Yes. So I was in New York yesterday and the day before, and signed as many books as I could when I saw them at bookstores in the airport, and went to some local bookstores around my area and signed some copies. And I'd love to do more in the future.
Well, it must be exciting. It just must be hugely
it's very exciting.
Must be hugely exciting. Karen, thanks again for joining us. Is there anything else you'd like to tell us about Vivian and need to know?
I'm excited for people to read the book, and I hope they enjoy it. And it was really nice to get to chat with you today. Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it was our pleasure, and it's just, I think, a great book, and I really enjoyed reading it. And I hope I'm hoping that the publishing gods allow you to do another one with Vivian.
Oh, thank you. I hope so too. I enjoy writing, so I hope I can keep doing it.